Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Now, today on the broadcast, we will continue in our current series of studies, The Christian Security. And it's wonderful, and we think that it will thrill the hearts of those who know the Lord to think how really secure they are. Now, let's talk about what we have. We have a word that cannot change. We have a Lord that cannot die. We have a life that cannot end. We have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We have a love that cannot falter. God's love toward us will not falter. We have a power that cannot be resisted. Now, on the broadcast, we want to explore the second subject. We have a Lord that cannot die. And you will probably experience more from the scriptures if you'll turn to them as we read. First, on this wonderful subject, we're going to the Hebrew epistle of the Apostle Paul. No, I think first of that, before that, however, we will turn to Romans chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, where we read there, "For in that he died unto sin once," and of course this is about the Lord, "but in that he liveth unto God." Now, verse 9, "knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him." Now, this will help us to understand these verses, that death has no more dominion over him, if we will consider the sixth chapter of Romans and verse 23, where we read there, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The wages of sin is death. When we sinned against God, we created a debt. And the wages of sin, the consequence of sin, the outcome of sin, is death. Now, God did not want us to die and go to a lost eternity, so he gave his Son to die for our sins on the cross. And that's why we read there, as we do, that he has purchased it for us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, through his death, through his accepting our place, our sin, our judgment, our guilt, and dying for it, he died. Now, this gives real credence, real understanding to verses 9 and 10. "For in that he died unto sin once, because sin's debt is paid. And he lives unto God, and because he lives unto God, we live unto God, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him." He knew death once. It was necessary for him to go to that cross and die for your sin and for mine. And then when he indeed paid that debt, he was raised from the dead. And oh, I think of the significance of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he was on that cross, our sins were placed upon him. But when he was raised from the dead, he was raised into the presence of the Father. Now, he didn't take our sins back to heaven with him. No, indeed. He did not take them back to heaven with him. He died for them. He put them into the realm of death. Our sins are no more. And his resurrection is proof positive that Christ satisfied the claims of God for you and for me. Now, we're going to, after this, his ministry to us, his death delivered us from the penalty of sin. And we read in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 to 14. This will, I think, increase our appreciation of Christ's death. Verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 2. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." He tasted it. He endured it. And it was for every man. This salvation is to everybody that will receive it. Now down in verses 14 and 15, we read, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." And the fear of death is a very real thing. When we think about it, it chills our very being to think that death is going to be experienced. But not for the Christian. Christ died for our sins, and our death just simply ushers us into his presence. Now, this is security to know these things. Now, Christ's ministry for us by his life is to save us from the power of sin. We've already been talking about he saved us from the penalty of sin, and that penalty was death. The wages of sin is death. Christ received them. Our wages, what we deserved, he received them. Now, God has given us, through his wonderful death, God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But now he lives, and that is the secret of the Christian security. We have a Lord that cannot die, and he is ministering to us to save us from the power of sin. That's why he lives, to save us from the power of sin. Now we read in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 to 11 there. Wonderful portion of Scripture, verse 8 of Romans 5, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And when we're saved by his life, we're saved from the power of sin. Salvation is complete, absolutely. And then we read in verse 11, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We enjoy that security, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now, sin is still in the Christian. We do not lose a sinful nature when we get saved. Our debt of sin is paid for, and we have a new nature, and God wants us to serve the Lord with that new nature, with that new man, he's called, in the 6th chapter of Romans. We are a new creature. We have a whole new sphere to live in. Now, that evil nature is still in us, and the Lord wants to save us from that evil nature, and he lives for that purpose. As we read here, "Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And notice, please, the next verse, "Not only so, but we also joy in God." This is the secret of our security. Christ lives for us. Now, how does he save us from the power of sin? Well, I'll tell you one thing, he prays for us. In Luke chapter 22, and verses 31, he prayed for Peter, 31 to 34. And please, listen. "I wonder if all of our Lord, the Lord said to Simon, 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 behold, Satan hath desired to have you, and he sift you as wheat." This was getting close to the cross, close to that last Passover. "The Lord said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." And that happened. We've got the Lord praying for us. It is so comforting when another Christian tells us, "I'm praying for you," because God hears prayer. But our Lord is praying for us. If you please, think of the power of his prayer. And we read also in 2 Corinthians, chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, verses 7 to 11 there, because of what he did for the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul and Peter were two separate people. But Paul had a problem. We read there in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 5, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through all the revelations given to him, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me." Who was going to give Peter the trouble? The devil. Here there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. "For this I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." That's quite a paradox, isn't it? All right. Paul was given that thorn in the flesh to keep him down. But the Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for thee. I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to give you strength." And he is our great high priest now, if you please, at the right hand of the throne of God. Now we read in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 to 28, these words, "as our great high priest, living for us at the right hand of God." And they truly were priests, the Old Testament saints, priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. "But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them that to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." Now, Christ is interceding for us, and he's taking care of us at the right hand of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, we read of his sympathy for us and his encouragements to come to him in time of need and make our needs known to him. We have help. And this is the secret of the of the Christian security. We have a Lord that will never die. Father, make these truths real to us, we pray, in the name of him who loved us and died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.